Brethren and sisters and young people, I'd like to welcome you all to our ecclesial camp. And we'll open the camp with the singing of hymn number 75, and that will be followed by prayer. Unfortunately, Sister Joan Blanche passed away last night, and our thoughts and prayers are with the family of our Sister Joan. Also, Sister Leslie King was down in the Hobart Hospital, but she's now back in the Launceston General Hospital, and at this stage an operation isn't necessary, and if anyone does visit, the request is that the visits must be kept very brief. And we also heard that Sister Mary Howe is not at all well either. We'd like to welcome Brother Ron to be with us this weekend, and also Grace is with us, Brother Ron's daughter. And the theme for the weekend is Put on the Whole Armour of God. And we may ask Brother Ron if he'll give us his introduction on the battle for the mind. Thank you, Brother Ron.
Good evening, Brother Trevor, brethren and sisters and young people. I might say it's very nice to be amongst you down here in Tasmania and to know that you share the same weather that we have in Adelaide this last week. But nevertheless, we hope the study of the Word will lift us all up, and particularly in these sad times as we mourn the loss of a loved one. We had the same experience today in Adelaide. This morning we attended the funeral of Brother Michael McGeorge, who died at the age of 13. And those of you who know the circumstances will know in one sense that perhaps for Brother Michael it was a mercy that he didn't have to endure any more suffering. In your case, of course, you've lost a very dearly loved sister who spent many, many years in the service of the truth. And given, of course, the things that have happened in the Brotherhood in the last few months, perhaps we're all being told something, brethren and sisters, about the need to count the days and to make sure that every one of us is ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this weekend, God willing, we hope to talk about the warfare that every one of us is engaged upon, and that is the battle for our minds. Ever since the serpent in the Garden of Eden spoke the words that he did, the lie that he put to the woman, the issue of life has been a battle for the minds of humanity. And there was the woman struggling with the proposition that the serpent had made to her, that perhaps God did not mean what he said about the tree that was before them. And when the woman accepted the reasoning of the serpent, she undermined the word of God and brought into the world enmity between flesh and spirit. And it began from that moment of time a warfare that's continued down through the generations until today. The conflict of the two seeds had begun. And God entrenched that conflict. He says, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, between divine thinking and natural thinking. And in every generation, the conflict has been the same basic issue. Will we think as God would have us to think? You know, the woman would have been on safe ground if she'd stayed with what God has said and believed what God had said about the law on that tree. She would have been on extremely safe ground. But the moment she began to speculate upon the serpent's reasoning, she was undermined. And so the issue was there. Do we think in terms of what God has said? Or do we listen to the voice of the flesh? You know, you hear people going around using phrases like, well, I think this. or God doesn't expect this or that. And whenever you hear those sort of words, beware. It may well be the thinking of the flesh. And the battle for the mind that began in the Garden of Eden continues today. It's as sharp as it ever was. If not, then it's not because the world has changed its policy. If there's no battle for the mind today, it's because the saints have lost the sharpness of understanding what it is that God has said. And Yahweh has sworn that he will have war with Amalek in every generation. And there's got to be a battle for our minds going on. And the issues of life that we're going to talk about this weekend are very critical, and they have eternal ramifications for the children of God. You know, the apostle said, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary, one to another. The Lord Jesus Christ termed it this way. The flesh profits nothing, the spirit gives life. And we're going to talk about the difference between godly thinking and the thinking that the world is trying to enforce upon us and upon our children. And we're going to come to understand, we hope, the power of these words. For to be carnally minded is death, said the apostle. Not will lead to death. You see, he takes it as an absolute certainty. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the same certainty applies to the spirit-minded. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And we're going to see this weekend the contrast between the carnal and the spiritual. We're going to see that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man on the surface, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we are very much, brethren and sisters, at war. And we need to be in that spiritual mind that understands the will of God, that goes deeper than just accepting the plausible arguments we might hear put to us by the world. A mind that stays with what God has said. And you know, very much today, we are at war. God's people have always been at war with themselves. They should be always having an internal struggle. The apostle felt it when he said, in me there dwelleth no good thing. But there was a war in his members. And we must have that internal struggle going on all the time. But there's also an external struggle we're engaged upon. You know, in days gone by, the struggle for the saints of God was very much a violent one. And our brethren and sisters and their families suffered the most horrible punishments by those who tried to wipe out their style of thinking. And when the church came to power, they were given power to wear out the saints of the Most High by torture and by murder, because they had the power to do so. But today, the warfare is much more subtle and much more dangerous. You know, commenting upon the horrors that were perpetrated in the name of religion, Brother Thomas said this in Help Us Israel. We ought not to think that the church is any different today. Iniquity has the same malignity. It has only changed its mode of attack. And today they can't burn us or feed us to the lions. But in many ways, perhaps we're in more danger than they were. We're perhaps in more danger than being faced with open persecution for the things that we believe. Because the world by stealth has achieved more than it ever did by confrontation. And there's a need for us to focus upon what the world is doing in these days. And to be aware that our greatest danger, perhaps at the moment, is not from doctrine. And yes, we have rightly exposed the wrong doctrines of the apostasy and the churches. And it's right that we do so, because that's scriptural, that we should expose error. But when you think about it, brethren and sisters, and particularly those of you who have been around the truth for a while, think of all the people you know that are no longer in the truth. And I bet you can count on one hand those that have gone to other churches. We have not lost that many to other religions, but we've certainly lost a lot to the world. We've lost a lot of people to the modern way of thinking, to selfishness, to humanism. And you see, there's a great danger we must also face and contend against. Because if we don't, brethren and sisters, we will go under as surely as the world is going under the tide of humanism. You know, 200 years ago in the Western world, the population was 98% Christian and God-fearing. The laws of the land, the ethics of the population, and the morality of the people were based upon the Word of God and His laws. And in those days, only a fool would have said, "There is no God." And yet today, 200 years later, most of society thinks that God is dead. And those who believe in God and in the creation record are regarded as being simpletons and fools who need religion for a crutch to get through life. And the whole population has changed its viewpoint in the space of 200 years. And for the most of mankind, morals and values are now relative to their experience. And the laws of the land now institutionalise the things that the flesh wants to do, without any thought for what God's opinion might be. The churches, once the bastions of society, are now empty shells of irrelevance, because they tried to go with the tide and destroyed themselves in the process. And whereas once you could send your children to school, and the teacher would back up the general morals of the home, and the school would stand behind that with principle. Now when you send your child to school, quite often you're feeding them into the hands of humanists. And those who control the education and learning of today are totally opposed to all the principles that the Bible teaches that we ought to impart to our children. And incredibly, in the space of 200 years in the Western world, an enormous revolution of thinking has been undertaken and achieved by humanist thinkers. And the outcomes in society are very plain to see. The fulfilled Bible prophecy that in the last days there would be a spirit of madness loose in the earth. And it's come to pass. You know, we know the words, don't we, that Paul prophesied in the 2nd of Timothy, chapter 3. "This know also," he said, "that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." You know, that's the prime characteristic that Paul said would happen in the last days. Men would be lovers of their own selves. You go back even 50 years. Society in general believed that the best human good was that a man should dedicate himself to the good of society. People went off in the millions to war to die for others. And everybody believed that virtue was in doing good to your neighbour. But today, number one is the prime target. Look after yourself. An age of selfishness. They shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Boasters. proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. What a revolution's taken place in the world. But today we find that parents have lost control of their children. A lack of gratefulness, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, fierce, a despisers of those that are good. You know, up until 50 years ago, all the heroes of society were people who did good things, brave things. You look at the heroes of today. They glorify those who do the worst base things. They glorify Hollywood with all the immorality and the greed and the falseness of it. And you see, society's values have been completely revolutionised in a very short space of time. We went through the 70s, the 60s, the age of revolution. Then the 70s, the permissive decade. Followed by the 80s, the decade of greed. Look after yourself. Make big money quick. And sadly today, brethren and sisters, we're seeing in the Brotherhood the impact of that tremendous shift in society's thinking. And I submit to you today that the greatest problem facing the Brotherhood at the moment is not doctrine. The greatest problem facing the Brotherhood at the moment is selfishness and apathy. And that's a direct result of what people are hearing all the time from the world. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ put it this way. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of the many shall wax cold. And we know that word to wax cold there means to cool by blowing. You know, it's like when your child takes a spoonful of soup and burns their mouth, you say, blow on it. And the constant blowing of the iniquity and the permissive thoughts of the age has had a cooling effect upon the zeal of the saints. The very evident lawlessness around us conditions us to accept it. You know, there was a time when we perhaps wondered at the severity of this prophecy, that perhaps the Lord was overstating the position. But as time's gone by, and here and there, faithful ones that were once shoulder to shoulder with us have disappeared from the truth. As people have become very apathetic and listless in their service for the truth, we're realising the Lord knew what he was talking about. We've got to make sure, brethren and sisters, we're not amongst those who wax cold. And I believe every one of us perhaps are feeling the pressure more than we realise. And if you've got teenagers, you'll understand what I'm talking about. That we're under pressure from a world that is pushing a way of thinking at the rising generation. Some have left us to pursue the ways of materialism. Many others are still here but have lost heart. They're opting out of commitment to the things of the truth because their sacrificial love has cooled. And the danger is that we might be more affected by these things than we comprehend. You know, if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, this is not really a problem that I have, perhaps you're more affected than you realise. Remember Laodicea, they did not know that they were poor and blind and miserable and naked. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that the abounding iniquity would have upon us a cooling effect. Will you just think of the things that we now accept without protest? There are so many things in society today that are totally upside down to the values of 20 years ago, particularly in the area of morals, and yet because it's there so much, our revulsion for it has diminished. And this weekend we're going to talk about how we can encourage ourselves to be vigilant. We're going to talk about how we can encourage our brethren and sisters and ourselves to be enthusiastic and to make sure that our love is not waxing cold. The addresses we intend to give, God willing, this weekend perhaps will not be entirely new. What we're going to do is to spend the first part of our weekend looking at the problem of humanism, the underlying poison that has drugged the modern world into its state of hopelessness. We're going to see where it came from. We're going to see the tactics by which it is taught to us and our children. And then we're going to discuss ways of combating it. We're going to appeal for a new kind of separation, especially to those young ones amongst us. We have preached separation in the past, and quite rightly so. But today there's a need for separation in our thinking. We have to be able to discern the poison of the serpent. And we'll only do that by staying very close to what God has said. And we've got to learn to recognise the enemy that we have in the world, to see how insidious and dangerous it is to accept the reasoning of the serpent today. And we've got to overcome the spirit of listlessness that is affecting the truth everywhere. You know, I do get to move around the ecclesia world a little bit, and I talk to brethren who've been around in many places in the ecclesia world. And wherever you go in the ecclesia world, there is a common complaint that people don't have any commitment to the things of the truth. You go to Bible classes and you could fire a cannon through the hall in many ecclesias. In a lot of ecclesias, you go to the Bible class or the lecture, and it's the older brethren and sisters and the young people sitting there, and there's a whole generation in the middle that don't have the commitment to be there. And I submit to you, that's a product of the age in which we live. And so it's a time to renovate our thinking, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and to make sure that we have an understanding of what the enemy is about, and that we have the antidote that we can apply it in our lives and so combat it. And we're going to talk about humanism in the schools, in the workplace, and we're going to talk about the origins of humanism. And then we're going to give you some positive solutions, some things that you can do in your life and your ecclesia, so that every one of us, brethren and sisters, might preserve ourselves from being amongst those who shall wax cold. Rather, we shall endure unto the end and be saved. The battle for the mind is very much on today. We are at war, brethren and sisters, and there's only one way to win that war, and that's to make sure that what's going into our minds is the pure, clear stream of divine thoughts. You know, Brother Carter wrote, "The human mind is insensibly affected by the stream of thoughts passing through it." That's a very beautiful thought, isn't it? You take the bed of a stream, you put polluted water down that stream long enough, and soon the bed of that stream will be coated with grease and with mire and with poison, and nothing will grow in that stream. And the human mind's like that. We live in an age that is absolutely superb in its advertising. We live in an age where the media is absolutely superb at getting across its point. where there's every available technology and publication on any subject you want. And we have to be so careful, brethren and sisters, that we make sure that our minds are not polluted by the thinking of the age. And so we've come here this weekend to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. You know, the word renewed in the spirit of our minds means to totally renovate. And we have to keep doing that. We've got to keep renovating our minds by building in the spiritual qualities, the spiritual thinking of the things that are honest, pure, lovely, just and good. And to make sure that we don't allow the pollutions of the world to scar our thinking. So there's the challenge. The battle for the mind is on. We trust, brethren and sisters, you will find these matters interesting and informative. But above all, we hope you go away from this weekend stirred up to make sure that you keep in your mind the stream of thoughts pure, holy and good.